Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound, get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducross.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. You're listening live right now to the Sports Warriors with Sean Ducross and Tristan Ducross. We are on YouTube.tv. We are also on Blog Talk Radio. Wow, did you see what's going on right now over with the UFC? You just can't get enough right now. But Conor's being made of as a meme and being called... Am I missing something? Like... We straight talking about an action that happened, and yet he's being called out. That's what happens when you have the backing or the history that you have with the Diaz brothers, Tristan. So let's go ahead and just get right into UFC 202 talk that's going down Saturday. So UFC 202 is going down Saturday. While everybody seems to be talking about the Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor fight, we have totally lost track of fights that are on this card outside of Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. Did you know Donald Cerrone's on this card? Did you know Anthony Rumble Johnson was on this card? The comeback story, Rick Story, is on this card? Oh, wait. This feels like I'm Allen Iverson all over again, and I'm channeling my inner. We talk about practice? You know, we talking about straight up Diaz versus Conor McGregor, like that's the only fight that matters. Like, we're talking about the presser that happened a little while ago and this afternoon where water bottles were chucked. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about Raquel Pennington versus Elizabeth Phillips, about Conor McGregor throwing water bottles. That's the headline. Bad blood. That's the headline. Are we so dazed and confused as a society or as fans? Are we so delusional now that we have become so watered down that's what matters?
It's an interesting perspective when you talk about this whole situation and watered down and the other. But unfortunately, this is where we're at, not as a society, but it's where we're at when it comes to sports. I've always preached since the brawl at the Palace in the NBA basketball when you had Ron Artest and everybody fighting in the stands. When we were doing our show of Jack of All Trades, when we were doing that style of show, I talked about it then and I'll say it now, is that it comes down to the inability to carry yourself as a professional. When you are in a limelight, as you are, as such, you are expected to carry yourself as a high standard. Yes, there are going to be times you're going to break down and go, what the am I doing here?
Dude, this is why that I like covering combat sports. Because you simply have, everybody talks about how they want combat sports to be mainstream, right? Everybody's talking about it. And I continue to sit here and I'll say that in combat sports, mixed martial arts is not where it needs to be. You know, they compare themselves to the NBA. They compare themselves to the NFL. They compare themselves to Major League Baseball. You know, people are talking about a union now coming into mixed martial arts. But the fact of the matter is that when you look at this action that is happening, why would anybody buy into a organization like that? You know, you have other organizations that are trying to change the culture of what mixed martial arts are. You know, you got the newest one, Brave. that's going to be coming out. They just released their first card. And it's the matchmaker for them is Manilo Hurricane. You know, they are trying to do something different. RFA doing something different. Bellator doing something different. And then you just look, you just leave yourself scratching your head because you go back to the well one too many times. Like I told my brother, dude, we all have had our arguments. We've all had our fights, our disagreements. And when you sit there and you antagonize or you push somebody, what is a natural reaction going to be? Your natural reaction is going to be to push back. When you see somebody, whether it's wrong or indifferent, you're going to see somebody chuck a water bottle at you. What is your natural reaction going to be? Unfortunately, it's going to be the chucking of the water bottle back at the individual. You talk about this moral high class, always walk away from altercations. That's not reality. You could sit there to say until you're blue in the face, Tristan, and say, you know what, so-and-so said something to me, I don't want to have any part of it, I'm going to walk away. You can say that now. But you can't say that when you're in the moment. And that's what happened today at the post and the pre-fight presser, was the fact that Conor McGregor was in the moment. He was trying to handle it. He was trying to take the moral high. Get out of here. Get the F out of here. You ain't going to do anything. He was trying to take the high route. But it was until that moment when a water bottle got heaved at him, when he felt he needed to change course, go after the Diaz brothers. And I say the Diaz brothers because of the fact that you look across the bow and see that Conor McGregor did this all by himself, Tristan. 1 versus 4. 1 versus 5. Whatever you want to call or just shorten it. 1 versus the rap. That's what happened. I give props for Conor McGregor for standing up to 5 individuals by himself. Not afraid of the outcome. If there's a... Here's a weird spin, okay? If you are a kid that is looking up for a role model, and it'll be interesting to see what people hit us up on our Facebook about this. Because, I mean, if you're listening to us right now, on Blog Talk Radio, we're having difficulties with the server with YouTube, so we're keeping it just to Blog Talk Radio right now. But here's an interesting spin, and it'll be interesting to see what type of ramifications you get from this statement. Okay? Here's a different spin. I'm sometimes good at this. I give props to Conor McGregor. If you're a kid and you see Conor McGregor standing up with individuals, what's the positive you take from it? The positive you take from it is that this could be an anti-bully campaign. He got bullied by the Diaz brothers. He got bullied by the pack. He stood up questions of it. He stood up to it. So if you're a kid that is getting bullied in school against verse 5, okay, Conor McGregor, don't be afraid to stand up for yourself in certain situations if it's dictated as such. You've heard us talk negative about Conor McGregor. You've heard us talk negative about the Diaz brothers. You've heard us talk about positivity from both of them.
Hashtag not one-dimensional. Just saying.
But why not look at it as that? But you can't take away from the fact that again and again, Diaz brothers continue to rear its ugly head. You thought Nate Diaz had it all figured out. When he took on Conor McGregor the first time, he handled himself professional. He did everything the right way. But then you had this altercation. It just brings back from 5 or 6 years ago when you had Rat Pack Mayhem Miller in the center of a Strike Force cage. And that is what comes from you. Is that when you've got people that want to say that this is something that isn't a custom
for the Diaz brothers, that's BS and you know it. Because at the end of the day, history will repeat itself. It's always going to happen. One thing you must know is that when you talk about an individual, one way or another, one thing you know about Tristan and I and who we are, we hold no punches. We tell you like it is. That's what makes us unique. You know who we are. You know what you're going to get. You know who the Diaz brothers are. You know who the Rat Pack is. Let's go down memory lane, people. October 24th, 2015. Elite XC. Nick Diaz versus KJ Nunes. And what was one of the best fights of KJ Nunes' career was against Nick Diaz. And KJ Nunes walked away as the victor. And what did Nick Diaz do? Nick Diaz wanted a rematch. And what did he do? It turned into a brawl because KJ Nunes' dad came in and Nick Diaz slapped KJ Nunes' father. Melee ensues. See if you can go ahead and keep notice on this. World Series of Fighting, August 2nd, 2015. Nate Diaz gets into an altercation with Khabib in the stands in a fight that doesn't revolve around his brother or himself, but rather than Jake Shields. That ensues all the way to Never Never Land. The Rat Pack, Jake Shields, was fighting in his fight in Strikeforce in Nashville on CBS. The first to make it on mainstream. In that fight, at the end of the night, you had Mayhem Miller walk into the octagon, whether it is preempted or not, put his hands on Jake Shields and said, "So when am I going to get my title shot, my rematch?" Jake Shields doesn't turn around and retaliate, but simply rather he gets pushed and stalked and slapped by Nick Diaz. And what happened? A brawl ensued in what was the worst brawl in MMA history televised on prime time. You saw not only was it Nick Diaz, but Nick Diaz punching Mayhem Miller.
Don't forget,
Gilbert Melendez was being held back.
Don't forget, Gilbert Melendez, Jake Shields were all in that.
Absolutely. So to say that it's not that Nate Diaz or the Nick Diaz or the brothers, whatever you want to call them, for their actions is that there's no facts to back up anything that they've done.
The body of work of their incidences speak volumes.
And right there, you are a byproduct of what you are. You can try to be somebody you're not, but at the end of the day, you're going to be the person you are regardless. The DMs, they're great in the octagon. Their personalities suck. I've heard that if you meet these two guys and you talk to them in their field,
they are one of the coolest cats.
And but unfortunately, life doesn't revolve around that. You know what? I heard a great line the other day, Tristan. I was at work, and want to know what I heard? I was talking to an individual, and this goes for the Diaz brothers. Interesting how parallels happen. But I was talking. It's so weird that when you get people who complain about being in line when you want to check out, and then you throw a fit because you want to go ahead and check out on your own dime. But at the end of the day, in reality, is that you're in line every single day of your life. You're in line to watch TV because that's what a commercial is. You're waiting for it to come back. I was like, you know what? That's a great analogy. When you go out, when you go to the grocery store, what do? You wait in line. What do? When you got to call the phone company, you wait in line. Everywhere in life, you wait in line.
Gas station, you wait in line.
It doesn't matter what you do.
Movie theater, you wait in line.
You wait in line. So unfortunately, worlds revolve around where I only want to be in my comfort zone. That ain't the reality of it. The reality is that you're going to go outside of your box. So if you're these cool guys that everybody loves to be around, and that's how you got the whole Rat Pack, and that's why you everybody loves you, show the world that people. Because our people tell us what great guys Nick and Nate are. But yet they don't show the world what good guys they are. They show the world what pompous, arrogant kids all they are. The fact that they're still not mature enough at their age is insane to me. Maybe that's a little bit too aggressive, but at
sure,
the end of the day,
but that's the world we live in right now, dude. Like, you look at every day, you look at the media, you look at the news on CNN, you look at the news, you look at how kids are being raised, you look at how people interact with people. People are so consumed with electronics and devices and stuff like that that you get lost in how you carry yourself or how you act or how you are perceived in society. We've known for years that these brothers have always had anxiety problems when they are in front of a camera, where they are in their everyday life. That's why they smoke marijuana, is because it's a way to relax them. It's a way that they can get out of their anxiety. That's why they do it. And you can either accept it or you don't accept it. That's your opinion. That's what we live in right now. And I think that's the part of the issue that we are seeing right now. Two guys that don't know how to act outside of what you said, their comfort zone. You put them in a hostile environment, you're going to get a hostile person. You take away their comfort zone. You take away the people that are around them. And all you have is a negative influence and an instigator. You're going to get a problem. You're going to. There's nothing you or I or anybody that can do that to change the perception of that. You can't. People go about kids. But look, it gets outside. People that have issues with society about going out and stuff like that. I heard a story about going to a Pokemon Go convention that was about Balboa Park, San Diego. Can't really talk to people. And you know what happened to him? People came as if he was stupid and turned him away. Oh, wait, because that's what we live in. That is the ultimate issue that we have. And if somebody can't change it for help, we're going to get more incidents that are happening like this. And right or wrong, it ain't going to end anytime soon. And we're just going to have you're going to have protests, for crying out loud, in the world today, right now. One person, it just keeps going out. It's a revolving war. It really is. And you talk about revolving, you can't. I will always be the one that will always talk about it. The ADAs did. They started it. Oh, wait, you're going to kick a Conor McGregor? Why? Because the video shows Conor McGregor throwing a bottle? So it shows Nate Diaz too. But you're going to make fun of him, make him a meme, make him, and we're in a bully society. We will always be in a bully society. It's just the reality of the situation. Just as we continue to try to work out the kinks with YouTube and find out what's going on with YouTube, we're still on Blog Talk Radio. You can join us in the chat room over there today and talk about everything that we've touched on so far here as we get ready to go into our break. But one thing I do on here. Let's talk about UFC 202 here coming out of break because the whole Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz, it took a life of its own. But at the end of the day, I will leave you on this note. You said it best on your Facebook. You want a union so bad to represent its professionals, but yet you've got unprofessionalism. Look at all around the world, MLB, NHL, and NBA. What's one thing they all have in common? Class. They represent themselves accordingly at press conferences, and they represent the shield in which they wear. If you want professionalism and you want a union, you have to represent the shield at hand. You look at it, well, the shield that the fighters of the UFC, because UFC has a Reebok deal, you're representing that shield. Respect that shield. You want to be in the stream and you talk about it and get paid by boxers. Behave as professionals. Don't behave unprofessionally. You've got kids up to you. That is it. We'll go ahead and head off into our break.
Right? You're listening to the Sports Wars. I'm Tristan Ducrosse. And on my side, as always, is my partner in crime, the one and only, Sean Ducrosse. And we are going to talk about UFC 202. About at least five fights that ain't nobody talking about because everybody just wants to talk about Conor McGregor and Diaz's issue. We just broke it down. Told you exactly how we felt about it. And in the meantime, we got UFC also presenting the CM Punk special.
Excelsior, Imperius Rex, live long and prosper, up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the Ducrosse Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the Ducrosse Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
All right, everybody, we are back. I'm Tristan Ducrosse. On my side, as always, is my partner in crime, the one and only, Sean Ducrosse. Tristan, UFC 202 is finally here. Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz, part two. Or part three, or part four, or part five. Just depending on which one we get, apparently. But we can't forget. Dude, we got other people on the card, right? That's what I keep saying. We're talking about UFC 202. And like I was telling you, Sean, did you know that Raquel Pennington's fighting on that card?
No.
Did you know Cody Garbrandt was fighting on that card?
No.
Did you know that Rick Story was coming back and fighting on that card?
Yes, and wondered where he's been the entire time.
Did you know that Donald Cerrone's on this card?
Yes, he's fighting Rick Story.
Did you know that Anthony Rumble Johnson's on this card?
Oh, you mean he's not sick?
Nope. Did you know that he's fighting Glover Teixeira?
That I knew. They were supposed to fight, what, at UFC 200? But now they're going to be fighting at UFC 202.
That in itself is going to be a wrecking ball. I mean, you got two behemoths.
Somebody's going to get smashed.
Yes, you got two behemoths going toe-to-toe and going to slug it out. See? Let's honestly look at this card real quick. Did you know that Neil Magny is fighting Lorenz Larkin? That fight I'm mostly intrigued with just because of the fact that when you look at it, you've got a well-rounded fighter versus a premier striker in Lorenz Larkin. Lorenz Larkin has reinvented
himself.
Pretty much.
Big time.
When you saw a guy that went from being a light heavy to a welterweight,
it's one of those remarkable transitions that, again, we talk about evolution in MMA, and it's just fascinating to see fighters being able to evolve and to change and adapt what they're doing. So when you look at it, is that Lorenz Larkin and Neil Magny are both coming off of losses after having such a regeneration or whatever you want to call it, and rebuilding themselves, rebranding, if you will, and to see them finally going ahead and redoing themselves, they hit a little hiccup and they have to redo it. So they're both coming back. But Neil Magny, you're wondering that when he lost his last fight to Damian Maia, how much of all the fights he's fought in 43 months was a little bit too much for him. Because he ran off 14 fights in 43 months. My goodness. How much pounding are you willing to give up on your body is remarkable. So you look at that, you're wondering how fresh is he. He's 18-4 versus Lorenz Larkin, who's 17-5. What's scary, though, about Lorenz Larkin is that he has so much to gain from this.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil Magny has everything to lose on this fight, especially that he lost to Damian Maia. Right, but it's not even just that, dude. He was supposed to face a top 15 fighter, okay? Now he's facing a non-ranked guy, and, man, he's facing a guy that I wouldn't want to face right now because it's about to get real, real quick for Neil Magny, because Lorenz Larkin has so much pent up that he wants to shock the world. So I like this fight for Lorenz Larkin, Riverside boy. I don't like this for Neil Magny. I don't like it for Neil Magny unless he gets the fight to the ground. If he gets to the fight to the ground, then he's more likely to end up submitting Lorenz Larkin. But I like this fight for Lorenz Larkin if he can stop the takedowns of Neil Magny and keep the fight standing on his feet, because Lorenz Larkin is a bad boy. When he strikes, he's a premier striker. His technique has only gotten better over the last couple of years. So I say I'm going to go ahead and give this notch to Lorenz Larkin and say second round TKO.
It's a very strong possibility that this fight ends really quickly.
Oh, no doubt.
Neil Magny needs an impressive win over Lorenz Larkin, too. So this fight is going to be a very, very scary fight for either man. Both men. So, and then you look at Raquel Pennington. Now, I'm going to talk about her fight real quick. It's because she's facing Elizabeth Phillips. And my first reaction when I saw this fight was, again, am I like the only one that is trying to yell through the screen, through the camera, through the microphone, to the people on the computer screen, that, dude, where is Liz Carmouche? Right? Where has she been? Like, we need to ask Manilo Hurricane, where is Liz? Like, did she get blackballed for being the first girl to almost beat and choke out Ronda Rousey? Like, what is going on with Liz Carmouche? Because Raquel Pennington is more active than Liz Carmouche, yet she is far behind Liz Carmouche. So it leads me to wonder, like, okay, Liz hasn't fought since her loss against Rousey, but yet she's still ranked higher than Raquel Pennington. What is seriously going on here? Because Raquel Pennington, if she beats Elizabeth Phillips, I think we have to start talking to her about possibly, with back-to-back wins, getting a honorable nod to potentially get a title fight.
Liz Carmouche last fought in 2015 against Lauren Murphy.
There you go. But didn't she win that fight?
She won that, and then she previously lost two other fights to Misha Tate and Alexis Davis. But so, she's still 10-5, and if she's slotted ahead of Raquel Pennington, why not? Why not give her a fight? Like, we should see Raquel Pennington versus Liz Carmouche.
I'd probably see that. Similar styles.
You know, but Phyllis has lost her last two fights, or lost her first two fights in the UFC, which usually spells the end for any fighter. But she won her last fight in dramatic fashion, so she lives to fight another day, but she gets Raquel Pennington. So, one and done for her. Because Raquel Pennington should be Elizabeth Phillips. Cody Garbrandt taking on Takakia Mizugaki. That was a mouthful, Tristan. Right? Mizugaki. Mizugaki.
I like that fight because Cody is 9-0. He's on a hot streak. He wants Dominic Cruz. So if he gets past him, you know he's going to make another statement at Dominic Cruz saying, yo, stop ducking me. Team Alpha Male, he's one of the bright spots for Team Alpha Male.
And you do realize that if Cody wins, which I'm really thinking that he should just run right through Mizugaki.
He's going to put this fight on the mat and he's going to go to work. Man,
this will move him to a 10-0 record. And we are talking about the man, Cody Garbrandt, to get a title shot against Dominic Cruz. And if I'm Dominic Cruz, I don't want to face power like that.
I wouldn't mind seeing that fight because I think Cody is very active, very fast, very aggressive. A lot more so than what you saw from Uriah Faber. So it'd be an interesting contrast. The other fight, too, that I'm looking forward to is Donald Cerrone versus Rick Story. The welterweight division is very much wide open right now for anybody to climb the ladder and be the next one in line after you look across the bow and see what's going to happen with Tyrone Woodley and apparently Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. But if you listen to Tyrone Woodley,
somebody should have told Tyrone Woodley that, hey, dude, you're fighting Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, right?
Yep.
Shouldn't somebody have told him that?
Probably.
Instead, he found out on the newswire.
Probably should have. But Donald Cerrone, since moving up to welterweight, has taken full time to Jackson Winklejohn's camp and continued to improve his striking, which I didn't think could get any better. But his style is unique in that he's more of your traditional stand-up kickboxer. He's going to try to keep the pace, keep the distance, and keep Story away from him because Story is a wrestler with the ability to strike as well. He likes to go to the body, to the head, to the legs, work it all, and then shoot in for the takedowns. So Donald Cerrone is going to have to be very careful what type of Rick Story you're going to get.
Again, I look at this is that it's like two sides to a coin. Because I look at Donald Cerrone and I look at Rick Story, and I think that in the welterweight division, both guys have their ups and downs. And Donald Cerrone, most notably lately, you know, going down to welterweight, still considers
himself... Going up to welterweight.
Going up to do welterweight, still considers himself a lightweight. And wants Eddie Alvarez, but the way I look at Donald Cerrone is that if he loses against Rick Story, this sends him in a downward spiral, and the question about whether or not he's a title contender
remains
in question. Exactly. And Rick Story, you look at, well, dude's going to get top 15 fighters, because a win over Donald Cerrone is that notable win, and that moves him up into upper echelon. But then that moves back Donald Cerrone back down.
And you
so then you have to weigh the option. Well, was the move to welterweight a good one? Just because you want fights doesn't necessarily make that a good call on your part. So then you think about, well, I want a title fight against Eddie Alvarez. You've beaten him before.
It's the same thing, okay? When you look at Donald Cerrone and you took as many fights as he did in lightweight and you saw the wins and the wins and losses come, you saw him give beatings, take beatings, all that gushy stuff, that you, at the end of the day, you look at it and say, well, how much of the beatings have taken a toll on Donald Cerrone's body? Has Dad started to slow him down? But then again, you can look across and go, well, same thing has happened to Benson Henderson over in Bellator. He moved up to welterweight, got beat, moving back down to lightweight. Is this going to be the same thing that you see with Donald Cerrone? That he's going to go up?
Or is he going to get beat again and go right back down to lightweight? So that's some questions that you're going to have to see is going to be answered at UFC 202. So it remains to be seen. And then we also have the unique, I want to say that it was kind of unique in itself, but the CM Punk thing that was on TV was interesting, wasn't it not?
It was. I was confused. That's my thing right now. I'm confused. I'm confused by the people. I'm confused by the production. I'm confused by the whole world right now. The way that everybody's going is just confusing.
You're confused easily, aren't you?
Today I am because people's actions just boggle my mind sometimes.
It leaves you thinking about a lot more stuff than actually realizing what is actually going on. But more with the new Cross Brothers, Fourth Warriors. We got CM Punk talk coming up right after this break. And then we're going to talk about up-and-comers. Best of both worlds. Going down Friday night in San Diego at the Harrah's Casino. Probably the biggest Southern California amateur event. And it's going to be crazy. So more with the DuCross Brothers Sports Warriors coming up next.
Excelsior, Imperis Rex, live long and prosper, up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the DuCross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the DuCross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
All right, everybody. We are back on this live edition of the Sports Warriors. I'm Tristan DuCross. Along my side, as always, is my brother, my partner in crime, Sean DuCross. We are on Blog Talk Radio. We are having difficulties over on YouTube, so we are over here. In the meantime, you can hit us up on Facebook, Sean and Tristan DuCross. You can add us individually. We will talk combat sports or any sports in general. Hit us up on our fan page, the DuCross Bros. You can also find us
just DuCross Brothers.
Right? DuCross Brothers, what he said. You can also look at our website at www.thehotspotshow.com. In the meantime, UFC debuted their own special on Mr. Phil CM Punk Brooks. I was left wanting more, and apparently we're going to get more.
I guess we're going to get more leading up to UFC 203 in his debut against Mickey Gall, who is 2-0. It's been a long road for us to get here. January 2015, Phil Brooks announced he signed with the UFC. 2016, August 17th, we are still yet to see Phil Brooks in an octagon. But yet we've got a special that is airing on Fox Sports 1 showing his growth, movement, if you will, towards this debut. Okay? Questions that come from me after watching this. Okay, he's a welterweight. You do realize in the welterweight division, just to name a few,
right?
That are ranked. Jake Ellenberger is the furthest ranked guy on the UFC's rankings.
And we know about the UFC rankings.
You also have Matt Brown. You also have Neil Magny. You also have Lorenz Larkin. You also have currently residing in the welterweight division, Mr. Donald Cerrone. Rick Story. The list goes on. So my question that comes from this.
Does he want to die?
37 years old. Why would you sign a UFC contract if there is no chance of you ever competing for a world title?
This is correct.
Because you want to tell me in the next 5 years you're going to be ahead of Jake Ellenberg, Matt Brown, Neil Magny, Lorenz Larkin, Donald Cerrone, Rick Stewart, Robbie Lawler, Stephen Thompson, Tyrone Woodley, whatever, whoever's holding the title. You're going to tell me in the next 5 years you're going to be ahead of them? Dude, you better have a strong following like Brock Lesnar to make that transition and to make sure that you're the golden ticket. You better make sure that you learn to throw an uppercut, not throwing a looping uppercut that looks like a dorky-looking throwing motion. But to give him props, to give him credit, though.
He's putting in work.
You know it. I know it. Striking in this element is far different
than boxing.
Than striking in boxing.
Right.
The element in how you have
I
to.
I should know I can't throw a left.
So I can't discredit so much of that.
Right.
Because I know you know just how hard striking in an MMA field is. To learn how to throw correctly in an MMA is so different. You and I, when we transitioned to the MMA style of striking, realized just how different that was. Because throwing in boxing, pretty easy. Pretty self-explanatory. But the fact that in MMA striking, you got to stick and move a lot more so.
And you're in close quarters a lot of the time.
You got to have quicker reflexes. You got to pick it up and drop it at a much higher clip. You got to throw, put up, duck, shuffle, roll in and out. So I can see how that is hard for Phil Brooks to make that transition. So at first I was like, wow, this guy, oh my goodness, it's going to be a rough one. And then I was like, wait a second. That's like watching me or you in a striking class for MMA. That's how bad it was. So, I can give him respect and go, dude,
we've been there. We know the work and how much it takes to put in.
I feel for you. The only thing that I took away from it then was the fact that a guy with the pedigree he's supposed to have with training with the Gracies and talking about how good he is on the ground or putting out those videos of him doing ground technique with Henner Gracie, you look back at it and you're like, well, then where was that against the guy Eklenberger, who's 6-2,
and he got choked out.
And he got choked out, and then he got armbarred for a guy. And
Anthony got out of the armbar,
kind of, but he got put into a precarious situation that you look back. Well, why? How was he put into that? For a guy that has supposed to have that pedigree in his background, it's like, oh, I have jiu-jitsu behind me. I'm not completely foreign to MMA. You look completely foreign. You look more foreign than we look more foreign than we looked in our class. It's going to be an interesting thing to follow his growth to find out where he is.
But I'm not going to knock him too hard because,
no.
Man, this is his dream. Like he said, that if mixed martial arts was what wrestling was in 86 all the way up till now, he said that he would never have dabbled in pro wrestling because he wouldn't have known any of those characters because he would have been.
That's what everybody has said from The Rock, from Dwayne Johnson, from Brock Lesnar, from Goldberg. You name it, the list goes on of every athlete that has ever stepped in foot of WWE has said, or WCW, or wrestling for that matter.
Alberto Del Rio has said it.
Said that, you know what, if MMA was big before wrestling, they would be doing it now.
Or at the same timeline, they would have been doing that over wrestling.
Yeah. So I wanted to watch this special and go, dude, Phil Brooks, you're a joke. But then I look back at it and go, like, yo, dude.
No,
it's just like us.
Right. Let's also just put this out there, though, is that nobody, you can attest to this, nobody can say that this guy is not working hard.
No. And that goes to his background of being a world-class wrestler in WWE, is that you can't say that wrestlers are not athletes. They're athletes in one way or another. Wrestling's not all fake. Some of it is, yes, because it's predetermined what's going to happen. But at the end,
you take the bumps on the mat.
You jump off the rope. You jump off the top rope. You have to have some type of athletic ability. There's got to be something there. So you're not taking a complete non-athlete.
I also like his message in the fact that he says that he's always been the outsider. You know, his mom was popping pills. His dad was an alcoholic.
That's why he's straight edge now.
That's why he's straight edge. And, you know, he never showed up at home. And if it was one thing to say that when people tell you you can't do something, you're going to prove somebody wrong. How many people have told you and I that we couldn't do something? And look, we're doing this,
right? Oh, we had a learning disability growing up as a kid. They're going to struggle to speak.
But we proved them wrong. People said that we couldn't get on ESPN. We proved people wrong. People said we couldn't have our own show. We proved them wrong. People said that we would be split up on our show because in order to make it anywhere in this world, we have to be separated. Only one can achieve one thing. We proved them wrong. We understand that message that CM Punk Phil Brooks is saying, and his message alone. A girl walked up to him, and to me it was the most profound thing in the whole entire thing is when that girl walked up to CM Punk, sitting at a table like we are right now, and said, it's because of you that I am straight edge. It's because of you that I am clean, because you are my role model. And the dad said, you make my life easier because I don't have to worry about my daughter every single day going out on the street doing drugs, doing or drinking or anything like that.
Or getting bullied at school because she stands up for herself. So you look at it, everything that you want or everything that you ask for from the UFC,
if he doesn't win, dude,
it's still going to be good. Well, it sucked to see CM Punk, though, Brooks lose his first
fight.
Absolutely. It would hurt everything. It would have hurt everything he's ever worked
for. Because everybody would be like, haha, I told you so.
Right? But if he wins, it will send
a shockwave.
No, it will transcend, again, the UFC into a different era, just like when Brock Lesnar went to the UFC. And what a big draw he was. Phil Brooks is going to bring the straight edge society. Phil Brooks is going to bring the kids. Phil Brooks is going to sell out arenas because you know who CM Punk is. He's not the best in the world for a reason. He's the best in the world because of what he believes in. Again, I wanted to hate on the guy. I hated on him for his transition.
Because of how it went about. But when you watch that, it leaves you kind of, okay. You can't fault the guy for his dream.
No.
For following his dream. You can't fault the guy.
All you can do is stand up and embrace him.
Right? So let's embrace.
It's like watching a good guy in WWE. He knows how to play to the crowd. That's what he did in this special.
Yes.
Is that he played to the audience. This special looked like it was a pre-taped, video package from WWE showing what a great guy he is and how he's not afraid to grow.
This is very true.
Like UFC is embracing both cultures full tilt.
But let's talk about embracing the cultures. Let's talk about embracing what it is right now. In the amateur circle, and probably the biggest amateur MMA Muay Thai event in Southern California. Let's be real. Up-and-comers, Jason Weiner, Heather Hyatt, has done one heck of a job with this car. Because if you're in Southern California, you've been to Epic Fighting. You've been to Park. You've been to every other thing, but you have never and will probably never witness another stacked amateur card like this in probably a long time. Heather Hyatt was able to get some of the biggest names in Southern California and slap them on an incredible card, and Up and Covers titled it, which I couldn't even title it better than myself, Best of Both Worlds. And it will feature 5 state title fights in MMA that will be headlined by Angel Ramirez versus Roland Dunlop, which will be in the main event. You've heard us talk for the longest time, for probably about a year, about Angel Ramirez being a world-class wrestler with freakish ability, freakish talent, and quite frankly, what I call an amateur Brock Lesnar without the steroids.
Right.
But he's facing a guy named Roland Dunlop, who I have very questioned that this guy, if anybody has the opportunity to dethrone the Brock Lesnar of amateur MMA and Angel Ramirez, it is potentially could be Roland Dunlop. But I expect huge fireworks between these two fighters.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting that you look wrestler versus a wrestler slash boxer. So both of them have wrestling background.
Yes, they do.
Both are working on their striking. So which one's the better striker? Roland Dunlop. He's the better of the striker of the two. His advantage is going to have to be to try to keep the fight standing and striking with a guy that has been vastly improving in his striking in Angel Ramirez. But if Angel Ramirez is able to grab a hold of Dunlop, you may see him very much so take him to Suplex City. Because, quite frankly, that's what he does in MMA.
Wait, but that means we won't see an RK out of nowhere.
No, but unlike Brock Lesnar in UFC, trying to channel his Suplex City days didn't happen or doesn't happen. Angel Ramirez will literally take you to Suplex City. He will toss you from one end of the ring to the other end.
We have bear witness to such things.
If you want to see a mini earthquake, Angel Ramirez will give you it.
This is very true.
Mark my words. Friday night at Harrah's Casino. You may want to hashtag this. You may want to post this. But Harrah's Casino, you will feel a 2.0 earthquake centered around Harrah's Casino in Roland Dunlop versus Angel Ramirez, and it will be triggered by the man, Angel Ramirez, taking Roland Dunlop to Suplex City.
Wait, you talking about Roland Dunlop and Angel Ramirez, and you're only giving them a 2.0 earthquake?
I got to set the bar low, so if it gets really bad, then everybody's like, oh my God.
Exactly like that.
Oh my God. It fit the moment.
But man,
too bad YouTube wasn't working because that would have been an epic moment.
Right. But on this card, you also have both Kim twins that are going to be on this card.
The only fight I care about for the Kim twins is Jonathan Kim versus Trevor Wells. But one thing I will say about this, okay? A couple weeks ago, we were a little hard on the Kim brothers. But with all due respect, Kim brothers, you know us. We love the both of you because you're identical twins. You guys are freaking freaks of an athlete. But we just want to see you guys take on bigger and better talent and continue to prove to the world what juggernauts you two are.
Right?
Granted, Josh Kim lost his last bout due to unanimous decision or split decision at CFL. But Jonathan Kim, everybody wants the Kim brothers on their cards one way or another to try to pit them against somebody that is good.
Very true.
Trevor Wells, if you know us and the show that we bring to you every time we talk about amateur, we have talked about Trevor Wells. Trevor Wells dates all the way back to Archangel. This kid's legit. He's a good wrestler. He's a good striker. He brings a different element to the game against the Jonathan Cam that he hasn't faced. He will again be tested. If you've noticed in the last couple of fights, the Kim brothers have continued to be tested.
And my question, though, about Trevor Wells against John Kim is the issue that Trevor Wells is 3-2. John Kim is 6-0. I was hoping that Trevor Wells would get another win underneath his belt before he got
a fight.
Let's also
be real.
Like
he should be 3-1.
Right. He most definitely should be 3-1.
He got robbed in his Archangel fight.
Dude, no question he got robbed on that. But every single time I've heard somebody say, I'm going to beat a Kim. I'm going to stand on top of the throne. Shout at the top of the top of the mountain that I beat the Kim. Everybody has suffered the same fate to John Kim. 6 times somebody has faced a loss to John Kim. Whether it be 38 seconds, whether it be 45 seconds, whether it be a minute 38, it doesn't matter. John Kim has been able to finish off all his opponents. My question, though, comes down to Trevor Wells is that he's a good striker. He's a good wrestler. But he can't get overzealous when he's pressuring. Can't get out of his comfort zone because his comfort zone is his technique. Trevor Wells can be the first person that could end this fight. End it. And shock the world. Trevor Wells can do that. But he just can't get overzealous, can he?
No, and it's much like when I said about the Holly Holm versus Ronda Rousey fight. To beat Ronda Rousey, you have to stay within yourself. You have to stay calm to beat Ronda Rousey. Well, same thing with the Kim brothers. Stay calm, stay relaxed, believe in your ability. You can potentially have an opportunity at beating the Kims. But if you come in hot and heavy, the Kim brothers are just too good and not one-dimensional that they will beat you more ways than one.
Yeah.
They'll beat you with a head kick. They'll beat you with a submission. Whatever it may be. Beat you.
Right. The only thing that, like I said, the only thing that I see a weakness in the Kim's fight game is when they are pressured. Sometimes they overcalculate everything.
And if you pressure them,
and they kind of get out of their comfort zone.
And they get hit once or twice. They back up a little bit before they adjust.
The game changes a little bit.
But that's the thing about them. They're so smart, technique-wise and savvy-wise, that when they get tagged, they're able to adapt and to adjust on a split of a dime.
That's why I like the matchup with Josh Kim versus Viola.
But that's one of the things that boggled my mind. Jason Weiner said it on our interview last week that we didn't get a chance to do our show, but we went ahead and aired the interview anyways. But on that show, he said, well, just because he's older, they still got some fight left in him. But when you're 41 years old,
how much fight do you really have?
And how quick are you really?
Right.
That's the fight I question.
But you're looking at Viola, who has crazy submission skills.
And he's 4-1.
And he's won his last four. Last four, dude.
I get it.
And his last two fights, he's finished them via submission.
The other guy I'm excited to see back on the card for MMA style is Devin Goodell. 2-1. He's been off of everybody's radar for so long.
The American boy.
Yeah. So now he's finally back. He'll be fighting on the card. Devin Taylor
is on the card.
What I classify as a bigger name on the card, just because of the fact that he's fought for Lion Fight.
And has won on Lion Fight.
Fight. Numbers of times now. He'll be fighting on this card on the Muay Thai side. So that alone brings some legitimacy to the Muay Thai side of Best of Both Worlds.
But you also have Joseph Williams on this card.
Yep. Going for a 2-time state title. Again, at what point, why do you want to continue to be a belt collector right now? When you're 9-0, I believe is what he is, 9-1. His last loss came to the now pro Alex Trinidad. So at what point do you pack it up and say, dude, I'm going to go pro?
I think Joseph Williams, I think this is his last fight.
Collecting all the titles proves you're the best in the world. And at best of both worlds,
he could become the best in the world.
So at the end of the day, in his post-fight press conference, post-fight speech, he should announce to the world, I'm going pro, and you know what? I am the best in the world.
There's nothing holding him back. He's facing a guy named Malik Abdul-Dulamin.
That's a mouthful of
right?
half.
Just go on a two-fight win streak, both via submission, but I ain't worried about him. Spike Carlisle, he's on the card. He'll face his former foe in Marcus Waltson, who was submitted last year by Spike. You're going to see a different – I just have a feeling you're going to see a different Spike Carlisle coming into this fight after he lost to the 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu guy. What was it? Faustiano or something like that? I'm sorry that I didn't remember your name, but I know I'm close.
Jeremy Fattoruso.
Fattoruso, there you go.
You can't forget that guy's name. That's an epic name. Fattoruso. That's like Italian or something.
But – he lost a title to him, and I think Spike just wants ultimately redemption for himself. So I think you're going to see a more aggressive style,
more aggression.
Yes, out of Spike Carlisle for that card, August 19th. And then you have Christian Leon. He sits back inside the cage after losing to Josh Kim at Park in San Diego. Fellow Canadian, Tyler Deadpool Van Keel is on this card. It's going to be an incredible night of fights.
So if you're in San Diego and you want to see your San Diego boys, this is the card you want to be a part of. This is where you want to be Friday night. So go get your tickets and go show support from some local MMA action and for some great up-and-comers that you don't want to miss, that you want to know their name.
Ain't that the truth? All right, John, we're going to go take our final break and come back and finish the show. Okay, Sean. We are the DeCross Brothers of Sports Warriors. We're going to talk about Resurrection Fighting Alliance 42, finish up the show, and get on out of here. We're your boys, the Sports Warriors, Sean and Tristan DeCross.
You are listening right now to the DeCross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the DeCross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
All right, everybody. We are the Sports Warriors with Sean and Tristan DeCross.
We just took a short little quick break to get back into it because we're going a little bit over, but we still got some other stuff that we wanted to touch on that Tristan didn't want to let go today. So we're going to go.
I didn't want to let go because I think it's a pretty good card. Resurrection Fighting Alliance, and I just want to give due to them because they got Cristianos Giagos RFA's first ever 155 title, and this is his second fight back home in RFA after he got destroyed in his UFC stint, going 1-2, and I just think that this is supposed to fight against Zach Drusolo. Now we'll fight Arthur Estrazulos Viana, who's on a 3-fight win streak, and I think both fighters, especially Viana, who's on a 3-fight win streak, has so much going for him and riding for him that Giagos, if he loses, this probably spills the end of any title talk because Viana is a fast-growing fighter. 2 submission victories, 1 TKO.
Brazilian black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Right.
The guy's got it all.
My only question, though, is that he's been fighting lower-tier MMA for the last couple of years. And his only notable win has been against a UFC vet called Chris Tickle. Other than that, he has faced absolutely nobody
RFA
up until this spot.
RFA is the it place that you want to fight for, it seems like, when you want to get to the next level. Giagos, when you look at it, he won a TKO back at RFA 38. The interesting thing about this is that both guys are ground guys. One is a wrestler, one is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. If you are Gallegos, you want to keep the fight standing and not take the fight down to the ground, because you can risk falling into the hands of Estrosolis. So that's going to be an interesting fight to see who positions himself in the best spot to win that fight.
And you then you also have the crazy flyweight fight that is co-headlining this, with is Elazad versus Perez. Elazad KO'd of Richard Ellerin, had so many people talking about his debut fight and ending it in such a way that he did, to face Perez, who is the Tachi Palace King, has suffered back-to-back losses after this guy was on a 10-fight win streak, seriously unstoppable, has been stopped twice in RFA. If you want to see good flyweights, this is a fight you're going to want to see. But you can't forget the other one that's sneaking up on the card, and that's Cody Bollinger versus Anthony Alvia.
This guy's a fighter.
Cody Bollinger just fought a couple weeks ago at CFL 8. And he won. Now he steps back into the octagon at RFA 42 to fight a Team Alpha Male that many people have kind of forgotten about. That this kid ran off 10 straight wins.
Absolutely.
Before dropping 3 of his last 4 and did not fighting since February of 2015.
Anthony Avila or yeah. Something like that.
So Cody Bollinger is in for a fight and could be the fight of the night. Just saying, could be the fight of the night. These guys are both hungry to prove themselves. Cody Bollinger was released from World Series of Fighting, has taken some under fights. Now he's back on RFA to show himself, or show the world, if you will, he's still able to compete at a high level. What about, you can't ask for a better fight than this one.
Absolutely. But we are the Sports Warriors. That is it for our show. Hit us up on Facebook, Sean and Tristan Ducross. You can find us on, you can find our website at www.thehotspotshow.com. You can like our fan page, The Ducross Brothers, on Facebook. Until next time, we are out. We're the Sports Warriors.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducross.